memory. Dad wasn't a nice guy, wasn't, you know, or stepdad. I just make that disclaimer here. I can't say it every time I say it. Trust me, we're not trying to Pollyanna or Hallmark a day that's not always a good day for everybody, okay? Some of you, it's a great day. Some of you, it's a great day. Some of you woke up to breakfast in bed and all these kind of things and little birds outside your window singing and all that. Some of you woke up and everything you touched broke and went wrong. And so we got you covered here. If you want real life, we got you today. Nod your head if you're with me here, okay? So let me make that acknowledgement. Let me say one more thing too. But Jesus has never disappointed you. Excuse me. God the Father has never disappointed you. He's never failed. He's never broken a promise. He's never forgotten the play date. He's never gotten the wrong thing for you at Christmas. And God has never disappointed you. And if your horizontal vision is not a good thing, let me ask you to look vertically, because God will never disappoint you, will never disappoint you, and will never fail you. Men will disappoint you, and men will fail you, but God never has, and God never will. And that's the hope, amen? That's the hope, amen? Amen, I'm not. Amen, all right. Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Several of you not hearing me, all right. Stand with me if you would. We pay honor if you're willing and able to God in His Word. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua 24 and verse 14. Joshua 24 and verse number 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve you the Lord. If you write, underline your Bible, your tablets, your highlight there in your phone, that last command there, serve the Lord, there's a negative. For whatever reason, the people of God, they're delivered from the greatest army the world's ever known. They're delivered miraculously as they have to cross this large body of water. They do it on dry ground. They're delivered miraculously as they're fed throughout 40 years. They never plant an ear of corn. Wait for it. They never raise any cattle, but God takes care of millions of people, and they're healthy and fed. But for whatever reason, man, they're just dragging along all this jazz that the culture has. All of it. And they know to serve Jehovah God, but they got all this other stuff. And they got an idol here, and they got a bronze statue here, and they got a ritual here. And even though they know better than to let the culture in, they've let it in. And for 40 years, they've struggled. And Joshua says, put away the gods which your father served. Don't miss it. Dad flunked. And instead of giving them appreciation for God Almighty, it was God and. And they got a little of the Lord, and they got a little of this junk, and they brought it, and it is now antique. These are old idols, verse 15. And if it seem evil, bad to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. There's Egypt, that's where they're from. There's the Amorites, that's the current culture in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, here's our phrase, we will serve the Lord. If you're willing this morning, would you repeat that little phrase back to me? We will serve the Lord. One more time. We will serve the Lord. Verse 16, the people answered and said, God forbid we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, house of bondage, and did all these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went. And all the people through whom we passed, God has took care of us. And they give the right answer. Good. Verse 18. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for He is our God. They're given the right answer. Joshua says, in case you didn't catch it, you cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve these strange gods. Then He will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good. He's a good preacher. Yes, we want to do this. Fine, but you understand you can't do what you're doing. You can't do it. If you do, it's not going to end well. Make up your mind. If you serve them, serve them. But if you try and do both, it's bad. And the people said, verse 21, no. We will serve the Lord. Verse 22, you have this awesome witness. And the Lord said unto the people, God said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that we have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said, here's the response, the Lord our God we will serve, his voice we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people and set a statute. Statute's a written thing. And an ordinance in Shechem. This is it. This happened this day. This is the official record. Verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, the book we're reading from now. Joshua set these words here on the law of God, took a great stone and set it up under the oak there by the sanctuary of the Lord. He makes this historical marker. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spake. It shall be a witness unto you, lest you deny our God. So Joshua let the people depart, every man into his own inheritance, into his own plot of land, to his acreage and all. I want to help us today. This is our last message in our family series here about Fixer Upper. And I want to help us today. I want us to give us the blueprint. The blueprint for our lives, the blueprint for our families. I want to really help us here. How many of you, by the way, you want help, whether you're single again, married, almost married? You want help because you realize this is just bigger than you. Anybody besides me need a little help here? How many of you should have raised your hands, but you don't want anybody calling? Okay. How many of you just nod at me? You just nod at me? All right, there you go. Pray with me right now. Let's get in this. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. I pray that you'd help us this morning. I pray that you would you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help me to preach courageously and passionately. I pray that I'd be understanding, be able to be understood. And would you speak to us? Would you, Spirit of God, just go up and down every aisle and every heart and every chair? Would you be with our young people in the back? Would you be with our men who finished up the study and are excited, nervous about their next steps? I thank you, Father. Would you help us, Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. May I preach exactly what you have declared in the Scripture. May I be used as a tool for you today, in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You can be seated. I've reminisced a good bit. I always do these kind of days. I've reminisced about Allison being born. Allison, for those of you who are newer to our fellowship, Allison's our firstborn. My birthday is October 9th. Allison was born October 10th. How many of you think that's pretty close? And we were just so thinking that she was going to be born on our birthday. We had, we'd read every wives' tale. Anybody told us anything. This is a little pre-internet, so to speak. But I'd given Andrea, I said, listen, drink this olive oil. It'll help you go into labor. Have some pizza. I kept shoving weird mess at her and she finally was like, no. You drink it. And then somebody said, if you'll bounce her over railroad tracks. I mean, if you think messing with a 9-month pregnant lady is just, I'm just insane. Anybody besides me anyway? So yeah, thank you, honey. That's my wife. So we did this. Nothing, our family's in town. They live a few hours away. Andrea's folks actually live about 5 hours away at the time. And everybody's moving. And so Sunday morning comes and... I'm getting ready. I always leave early for service. I was assistant pastor at the time. Take off. And Andre says, you're not going to church. And I'm like, listen, woman, I didn't really say that. But then I said, what do you mean? And she said, we got to go to the hospital. And I said, how do you know? She said, I'm pretty sure. And anyway, so we grab the bag and grab her. And I'm trying to run the door. She says, no, I'm not going to the hospital looking like this. Anyway, so she showers and does her hair. Because it's picture time, I wasn't thinking anyway. So we get to the hospital or go by the church, see the pastor. I'm not going to be there while my wife's having a baby. And he said, are you sure? I said, she told me she was sure. And I'm, I don't know what to expect. And he said, go on. And I said, well, okay. And so after service, we have all these people come up. And I've always thought, you know, her mom's going to be in there. And I'm going to be there because I don't know what I'm doing, right? All I did was the breathing course. Breathe in, breathe out. You know, we paid a lot of money to teach her how to breathe. And we're in there. And so her mom says it's just too painful. And her mom walks out and leaves me in there. And Andrea's in pain, and she says, come over here. And I come over there, and she grabs my hand, and all of a sudden I feel all the bones breaking. And 6 hours later, I get it back. And then anyway, when Riley was born, I didn't get anywhere near. She kept trying to hold my hand. I kept handing her a stick. And so we're there, and several hours later, she has the baby, and everybody's rejoicing, and there's a complication, and we hold her for a second or two, and they whisk her off, and we don't see her, and you know, and then they finally bring her back, and she's hungry and grumpy. I mean, I'm hungry and grumpy, and people have been there for 12, 15 hours, and they're coming in a little at a time. They've actually seen her more than we have because she was in the nursery and getting attended to, and we do that, and then you know, next day that afternoon, they're like, "You can go home." I'm like, "Well, where's the class? Right? You sending somebody home with us?" Anybody, all the parents are here nodding their head right now, right? What do you mean? And her mom's going to stay with us a little bit. And her mom gets there and says, y'all are doing real well. I'm leaving after like 2 or 3 or 4 days. And I'm like, you know, here it is. I'm begging my mother-in-law, don't leave me. Man, don't leave me. My speaker's not on at all. Nobody's laughing. I think it's a funny story. And so, and she's there. And I remember the first night we were there. And Andre is still recovering. And I'm there. I don't have a clue. And, man, you start praying real hard, amen? And thankfully, Allison slept really from that first little bit. We moved the week after that. Nod your head if you're thinking having a baby then moving in 2 weeks is not real smart. But anyway, we moved the next week and all, and upheaval, and it was great. And we did all that stuff, and I chuckle thinking about that. She just graduated from high school. I chuckle thinking about, man, I wish Rodney would have known. And there's a flip side of that going, Rodney wasn't ready to know. I'd been scared to death. I'm a little scared right now what's ahead. What's ahead? I keep checking, you know, the teams have got somebody in college, and John and Kathy, I keep checking, Ron and Glenda got people. I keep checking in, make sure they're breathing and all that, because that's, you know, that's ahead for us. That's ahead for us. I'm leaving people out who have kids in college. I'm sorry. But anyway, I keep checking them, make sure what's going on. Saying I want all the knowledge. I don't think that's what you number one pray for. I don't think number two that's what you need. But I do think you need direction. I think single again, married again, kids, no kids. I think you need this. And I think without direction, what you're building, you're not going to like. And you're going to end up with something that doesn't honor you and doesn't honor God, doesn't honor your family to be. So I want to help you here. This is going to tie in with what we just did, what we're going to do again in the fall and maybe do in the mornings and all with some of our men. I want to help you. I want to, what are God's blueprints for me? I want to walk you through this. Look at the verse there. Look back at 24, verse 15. Joshua 24, verse 15. If you still got your Bibles and stuff open, nod at me here. Joshua 24, 15. The Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me, in my house, we will serve the Lord. On the back of your program you got coming in, you've got a space there for some notes. Let me offer you a few notes here. There is a personal aspect to this. There's a me aspect to it. There's a me aspect. Only you can make some of these decisions. Let me give you a timeout. God is at work, and God is the one who is important, and God is the one who's in charge. I don't mean anything other than that. But God's put some responsibility on you. He's put some responsibility on me. You can't pass it off to the school system. Nod your head if you understand it. You can't pass it off to the neighbors or the grandparents. You can't. There's things you cannot pass off. And there's one of these you can't pass off here. And that's this decision here. You can't pass off. There is to be a personal relationship with the Lord. It's be a personal relationship with the Lord. Say, I was baptized or sprinkled. I mean, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. That's not a relationship with God. It's not a relationship with God. Say, I went through a class of some kind. That is wonderful. But it's not a relationship with God. Not a relationship with God. A relationship with God says, God, I understand what you said about me. That I am, here's an old word, sinner. That the things I've done have offended you. And they have alienated, they've broken the relationship with us. And I'm going to have to pay for that. I'm going to have to pay for that. My brother and I used to play with fireworks. All the neighborhood boys did. I don't know how I still have all my digits. My brother almost blew his thumb off. I really don't know how he still has his thumb. Anybody grew up thinking that if you held a firecracker, it wouldn't go off? Anybody believe that kind of stuff? We did. And I let him try it first. Anyhow, we shot things. We you know, my dad writing checks for dumb stuff. Amen. Then we had to pay dad back. Then we broke things and all. My brother used to throw a baseball up on the roof. And then he'd come down, he practiced batting. He got real good at putting one through the front glass. Nod your head if you're with me here. Anyway, he had a great swing. If the pitcher had been standing behind a glass window, my brother would have been batting 1,000. And when he broke the glass and he got in trouble, then I get in trouble for letting him pitch baseballs off the roof. I never have figured that out with my mom, by the way. But anyway, we were there and you did something wrong and you had to pay for it. There was a penalty attached to it. Look right here. That relationship with God says, I have accepted what you did on my behalf for all the wrong that I would do. And I'm interested in having that relationship with you. And then there's a walk with God. Joshua has learned to walk with God. I think one of the things we miss is we think my relationship with God only happens for a couple of hours on a Sunday. Look right here. This is a time we all get together and worship. But you have an opportunity to walk with God every day. Every day. Some of you, that's morning. Some of you that are night people and all, or your second or third shift. Some of you, you're going to be walking with God at 3 a.m. in the morning. Some of you drive trucks and have driven trucks and all, and it might be midnight, it might be 6 a.m. depending upon the load and the route and all those kind of things here. But you get that opportunity to read your Bible and talk to your Heavenly Father, and you get that opportunity to do that. Andre and I, the other day, we went somewhere, we got a cup of coffee or something, we just sat there and we just talked. And somebody said, that's really boring. No, we really enjoyed that. It was just us doing that. God desires that with you. Sunday ought to be an overflow of what happens in your heart through the week. It ought to be the pep rally time where we're together, we're taught God's word, and we get to say, man, isn't it encouraging? I walked alone with God this week, and I get to come here for a little while, and we walk with God together. There's a me aspect. There's a personal aspect there. See, living for God is an individual decision. Joshua's going to say, as for me and my house, and he's absolutely right. But everybody in the house has got to decide. He can't believe for the kids. He can't believe for the grandkids, his lineage. He can't believe for his wife. His wife can't believe for him. It's an individual decision. My pastor said it like this. He said one of the greatest days in his life, Lang was her oldest son. Lang got saved. That was 3 out of 4. And then Lee got saved as a teenager. And he said they all stood and they held hands in a circle. And they said the circle was complete. Well, that's an old way of looking at it, but I love that imagery. That the family circle was complete. Why? Because even though Dad was a pastor, he couldn't believe for everybody else. Living for God is an individual decision. Some of you, that may be your prayer request this morning. You want the whole circle. Maybe you got brothers or sisters. It may be a mom or a dad or stepmom or stepdad. And you're praying for them. You're praying for them. I wrote this down this week as I was studying and thinking and reading some other things. To be the right kind of dude, am I old enough to pull that one off to say dude? Maybe I am. To be the right kind of dude or dad, I just wanted 2 D's. 2 D's. Gladys, I know you're into English and I'll forgive my butchering the language there. To be the right kind of dude or dad, you really got to be the right kind of disciple. You got to be the right kind of disciple. You got to follow God. You got to walk with God. Not now. You got to do that. You got to be the right kind of disciple. Be the right kind of disciple. Second, there's a plan here. There's a plan. If you're still with me, nod your head, say amen. Amen? Amen. All right. There's a plan here. There's a plan here. I want you to see the scope of the plan. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He is convinced and convicted. He is a military leader. I don't know how to frame this. I don't have the time to walk you through all of it again. He's a military leader. Look right here. All he's got to say is I'm going to do this. Is everybody with me here? It doesn't matter talking about his family. He's speaking militarily. He switches from militarily to family, familially, in a heartbeat. Why? Because the military is not more important than his family. As for me and the folks that I'm responsible for, the plan is we're going to serve the Lord. The plan is we're going to serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do. This is what our hope is to be. See, in just a little while, we're going to have our ceremony here. And it won't take long. Those of you who are guests today, we'll be right on time. See, what they're doing is not a promise of perfection. Instead, it's a commitment to a direction. Ron Mitchell's going to stand over there by the piano. He's going to have his certificate in his hand, and we're going to read that together, and all the other men and their families. He's going to stand beside his wife, Glenda, and her son, Lucas. He's going to stand there. Ron is not saying, I'm never going to deviate from this again. Ron is saying, I am committed, however, to this direction. I want to lead my house to serve the Lord. This is the scope of what's going. This is the plan here. This is the plan here. See, I really want to lead the people who are closest to me. If you let me have the phrase here, I want to lead them so they'll have their own personal me. I want them to be influenced with the Word of God and seeing me read the Word of God and having some family devotional time and putting it in front of them and making sure they have opportunities or whatever it is. Or you know, for us, it was a Bible school where Allison was at when she was just a young lady and my mother-in-law got to lead her to Christ, whatever. I want them to have their own personal meet. I want them to have their walk with God. Every parent, every step-parent, every grandparent, this is what you want. Everyone in here who has siblings, this is what you want for your brothers and sisters and your nieces and your nephews and your stepbrothers and sisters. You want them to do this. There's a principle here. There's a principle here. Look at it again. We will. We will what? We will what? And here's what we did for about 8 weeks. From the pages of Scripture, we walked through this. In a few moments, these men, teenage young men will be doing this. Let me offer them to you here. One of the reasons we did this. This is one of the things they're going to do. I do commit. I resolve before God to take responsibility for myself, for my future wife, my children, my grandchildren. I resolve. I am principled. I want to do this. I resolve. I will love them. I will protect them. I will serve them. I will teach them the Word as a spiritual leader of my home. I'll be faithful to my wife to love and to honor her and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus did for His, for me. I'll bless my children. I will teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength. I will train them to honor authority and to live responsibly. How many of you feel the emotion here? How many of you feel the commitment here? How many of you feel, man, this is an act of integrity here? I will train them. I will confront evil. I will pursue justice. I will love mercy. I will pray for others. Treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who've wronged me and reconcile with those that I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. One of the things this week, as I was going through this, I tried to memorize it, I just couldn't do that. I came back to this. When you goof up, when you mess up, when you sin, everybody look here for a moment. Best thing you can do is go to the person, you know, that's involved with it, your wife or your kids or whatever, your boss or your coworkers, and you go and you you make it right with them. Nod your head if that sounds like a good plan. When you really royally mess up publicly, then guess what you do? I mean, you publicly apologize, don't you? You publicly apologize. Well, let me publicly apologize for a minute. Can I do that? Some weeks, a couple weeks ago now, I reckon, we celebrated an anniversary. One of the things I did and had worked on for a few days was just events in our life. For 21 years, Andre's been married to a pastor, assistant pastor. We've made several moves. Had two children. We've got one child in heaven. We just have lots of memories. Lots of great memories. Lots of things. Really, lots of really bad decisions I've made. Nod your head if you believe that the pastor's made a bad decision or two in 21 years. How many of you think I've made, you can quit raising both hands back there, Riley, how many of you think the decisions that the husband makes affects everybody in the family? I've done a few of those. We were at a place we first married. They loved us. Man, they loved us. We would want to go out, somebody babysit. We'd come back and they'd bought Allison a new outfit. We had a couple of couples that would say, go out to eat. They gave us money to go out to eat. They took care of the kid, Allison bought her a toy and a couple of dresses. People we were not related to were taking better care of her in the clothes area than we were. It was embarrassing in one sense. And they loved it. We left there and went to a church that I had nine pastors tell me they're going to eat you up and spit you out. I had one pastor say, you can help them. And we left people who begged us to go eat and paid for everything and to a place where they actually talked about us, talked about my wife in front of her. We had our second child, and not a soul from the church came. It's very different. Look right here. I brought that into my wife's life. I wasn't responsible for their bad behavior, but she went through that because of me. Nod your head if you understand that. We went to a larger ministry. And people for a year said, well, you really did marry a nice lady. We've been married about 10 years at the time. And all I could respond was, what did you think I married? Nod your head if you understand that, right? And you married a real nice lady. She was just standing outside the penitentiary waving people down. You know, I've never understood that. And I'm not talking about one person. Lots of people did. I've made lots of boneheaded decisions. I wrote, not exactly in sequence. Actually, a lot of things are not. I went back and looked at it. I wanted her to know that I knew. That was it. She looked at it. She read it. She said, she cried. She said, not everybody's going to know. Take it down. I said, I've worked. And she said, no. I took it down, didn't think any more about it. I said one thing that I really should have clarified. I really messed up. I really, really, really messed up. See, I made a really bad decision last summer. We had moved. We had some money set back. Not a lot. I should have, it was our 20th anniversary, I should have just taken my wife. The church said you could go to the conference, this conference. I said we can squeeze in a family vacation. We not only didn't squeeze in a family vacation, but the church was real tight and got back, and I couldn't give all the receipts. I just wasn't going to do it. And so what money I'd set back for the 20th, I paid for the trip that I didn't get to see my family on. Nod your head if you're still with me. Still hadn't been on our 20th trip. And then I was paying more attention to the church's finances than it was mine. And we tried to stretch out some paychecks, and I just messed up. I ended up not taking my wife on the 20th anniversary. I ended up taking a vacation with my kids where I didn't see them. Look right here. And then I ended up messing up our own finances. It didn't have anything to do with our treasure. It didn't have anything to do with the church. It was me. I did this to that woman on the second row. Nod your head if you understand that. And into everyone and anyone who thought I was speaking ill of the church, I just wrote poorly. It didn't have anything to do with the church. It had to do with me. Nobody made me do anything. I made bad choices and offended her. And I was trying to publicly say, I'm an idiot. Instead, I hurt feelings. I didn't mean to. And so I want to be the man that's on this screen here. Is everybody with me? And so I ask for you, because I did it publicly, so I got to do this publicly. So forgive me. I'm sure sorry. And I mean that. And if I need to talk to an individual, I'll talk to any of you. Many of you are owed an apology, and I assume, but that was all I was trying to do, and I blew it. Nod your head if you catch the preacher blew it. And I'm just as sorry as I know how to be, but I wasn't remotely. Y'all have loved us and taken care of us and provided for us and honored us and said, we'll follow you. But I've not always paid as much attention to my wife as I should have. And occasionally I've done really dumb things. So please, if you would, please accept that. And if you want to talk to me individually, I'll be glad to. But I wasn't going to skip this because I think that the direction I want to go in my life is to what? It's to be a man of honor and integrity. There's a last one there. We're almost done. I will seek to honor the Lord. Be faithful to His church, obey His word, and what? And do His will. I will courageously work with my strength, with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory, as for me and my house. Here's our words. Help me here. We will serve the Lord. Say it one more time. We will serve the Lord. Joshua 24. That's our purpose. That's our purpose. We will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. What's that going to look like? What's that going to look like? I think it's going to be willing worship. There's a part where you worship because you want to. I'm here because I want to be here. I'm here not because mom dragged me or granddad made me or grandma pulled my ear. I'm here because He is my God and I want to serve Him. And there's a heart that says, I'm ready to worship. A friend of mine sent a picture. A kid's got his feet in their little pool, and he's got his Bible out and his pen out. And she took a picture. I want to save this for his graduation. And he's out there with nobody around, and he's reading his Bible. That's willing worship. It's willing worship. I want it to be holy worship. Some of your testimony has been you live like a crazy person on Saturday, and Sunday, you hope God forget all about it. I want Saturday to be as holy as Sunday. Amen? To be holy worship. I watched a parent one time pick up a kid's phone and the kid's blood drained out of their face. I want to live in such a way you can look at my tablet, my laptop, excuse me, my phone, and you can go anywhere and see anything on it and not blush because it's holy and trying to live that way. He says to do what? Put away the strange gods and family worship. It's a great day when what? When the circle's all what? Circle's all complete. That's every parent. That's every single person. That's every grandparent. That's every aunt or uncle. That's every brother and sister. That's your prayer that the circle be complete and you get to worship together. You get to worship together. Would you pray with me right now? Would you pray with me right now? Our heads are bowed. Our heads are bowed, nobody's looking around, and you say, Pastor Rodney, this morning, God's really spoke to my heart. God's really spoke to my heart. You may be here, you may be a Christ follower, you may not be a Christ follower, you may be here with lots of questions, you may be here with lots of answers, but you hadn't committed. I don't know where you are. But God really spoke to my heart this morning. I sure would like for you to pray for me. I sure would like for you to pray for me this morning. I'd love to do that. Maybe you just want to open your eyes, make eye contact. Maybe we just want to slip your hand up. Wow, God's really spoke to my heart this morning. Would you pray for me? Thank you. Would you just spoke? God really spoke to me. Several of you lifted your hands. Maybe just make an eye contact. Whatever it is this morning. God, would you just pray for me this morning? Would you just pray for me? Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else? Well, pray for me. Thank you. Well, a lot of hands up. Thank you. As soon as you put them up, you can put it back down. I think I've seen everybody. Some of you I'm nodding at here who make an eye contact. Thank you. You may be here today and you say, you know, I'm very interested in what it means to have my sins forgiven and to trust Christ as my Lord and Savior. You use a lot of words I'm not real familiar with, but I'm very interested. Well, I'm very interested. Just a little while, you'll have that opportunity. Someone will take a Bible, take you to a private place, and as long as you need, we'll answer any questions, show you from God's Word. We want to do that for you this morning. You want to grab me after the service, we'll take some time. We'll go to my office, go to the library, and we'll just talk. Let me know how I can pray for you, pray with you. Well, this be my prayer. Be my obligation, my opportunity for you. Maybe you're just here today and you're, I'm on board. The personal aspect, the plan aspect, the principles. I'm on board. Man, I'm on board. With purpose. I want to serve the Lord. I want my family, my siblings, my spouse. I want them to serve the Lord. Whatever I can do, however I can be a Joshua in their lives, I invite you today, make that commitment to God. Make that commitment to God. Would you do that this morning? Would you do that this morning? Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking around. At our church, we give an opportunity to respond. And in just a moment, our pianist is beginning to play. In just a moment, you'll have that opportunity. It'll be just a brief moment. But if God's dealing with you, I invite you to respond. As many of you are still listening to me, would you just stand to your feet if you're able and you're willing? Would you just stand right now? And if God spoke to your heart, maybe you want to come and pray this morning. Maybe you want to take this opportunity and somebody come and help you. Maybe you want somebody to pray with you right now. Whatever it is, we've got the opportunity. You've got the opportunity now. God's dealing with you as we begin to sing.
All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all.
Where you are there at your seat, I invite you. God speaking to your heart, if God spoke to your heart through the message, boy, I want to encourage you. Our heads are bowed as they just play through. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, I invite you to respond to Him, to respond to Him. To all those men who are having this opportunity now, I invite you to step up and come forward here. We've got a certificate Miss Andrea will give to you. You can hold, and you and your families, and kind of spread out around the front here. Make sure you can see the screens. As those men come, I invite those of you who are not participating this morning, I invite you to invite you to go ahead and have a seat in an attitude of prayer. I invite you to do that.
Samantha, you can stand with him. All right, I'll invite you guys. You can be looking at these screens if you'll kind of face the monitors there. Thank you. And anybody else, everybody here who wants to be here? So, all right. I wonder if you'll slide over this way and John and them can get a little better view here. You are our witnesses. Let me stand behind here. You are our witnesses today. Just take just a second. They've completed this Bible study, and those principles I laid out for you, this is their public declaration that this is what they're committing to, and you guys get to witness this. Nod your head if you think that's pretty cool. But they want to live this way. Live with integrity. How many of you work with people or they don't exercise integrity of heart and life, and man, it's difficult. How many of you, by the way, that just beats in you, man? I want to be a person of integrity. I want to do what I'm supposed to. I want to honor God. And so this is their opportunity. They've got a certificate that I've already signed, and that they'll have people. They may ask some of you to sign it as a witness today. And we're going to do this, and I want you to rejoice with them. You listen as they make those commitments, and then we're going to have a time of prayer, and then we're going to be dismissed. How's that sound, everybody? Stay with us and help us out now. Gentlemen, as you're ready to do this today, as you and your families, I will get you started. We'll say this together. We'll take them one at a time. You can read the screen, or you can read, read the paper in front of you here. Let's begin. I do solemnly resolve before God to take full responsibility for myself, my wife, and my children. I will love them, protect them, serve them, and teach them the Word of God as the spiritual leader of my home. I will be faithful to my wife, to love and honor her, and be willing to lay down my life for her as Jesus Christ did for me. I will bless my children and teach them to love God with all their hearts, all their minds, and all their strength. I will train them to honor authority and to live responsibly. I will confront evil, pursue justice, and love mercy. I will pray for others and treat them with kindness, respect, and compassion. I will work diligently to provide for the needs of my family. I will forgive those who have wronged with me and reconcile with those I have wronged. I will learn from my mistakes, repent of my sins, and walk with integrity as a man answerable to God. I will seek to honor God, be faithful to His church, obey His word, and do His will. I will courageously work with the strength God provides to fulfill this resolution for the rest of my life and for His glory. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Would you recognize those who have so affirmed that this is how they want to live their lives? Would you give them a hand this morning? If you guys would turn to those out there, I see several folks with cameras out, and they'll want a photograph and all. And we're going to go a little differently this morning. We're going to invite you to come up here and shake their hand. And some of you they'll invite you to sign as a witness on their certificate. I hope you'll do that. And there's only a few places, but you can take all kinds of signatures. And man, I'm excited for you. I'm proud of you. And shake their hand. Get a selfie. Right? That's still what it's called, isn't it? I'm old. And do those kind of things. To all of our guests today, right out in the foyer here, I've got a special gift. And then as you leave today, we have cookies. And we're the only church in town, on this side of town. I don't know what everybody's doing. I'm not going to say that. I promise you, I'm the only guy you know who looks like me giving you a cookie today. How's that? I'll say it like that. We want to give you a little gift and all, just for being an awesome dude and dad, and thank you for that. How many of you are excited for these men and their families? How many of you are excited? Stand with me if you would. Let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Glad everyone's here today. Thank you so much for being in God's house, and we're excited. Join us as we pray and as we are dismissed. Thank you so much for coming, and let's be dismissed in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. For the young men, for the married men, with kids and grandkids, some, would you keep them from evil? Would you help them, Father? And I pray that you would bless them. May this be more than words on a piece of paper. May this be the very heartbeat and lifeblood of their life. May they visit this with regularity and affirm this is how they're going to live out Joshua 24:15. This is how they want to live out their faith. I pray you give them courage. Because everything in the community and everything in the culture is trying to get them to bow down and worship something and somebody else. So I pray you'd guard their hearts. I pray that you'd be with them. And may, like men of old, they rise up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We love you. Help us as we celebrate with them on this wonderful Father's Day. I pray it in Jesus' precious name, and amen. Amen. You are dismissed.